2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 3 and verse 4. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to preach on another gospel. Another gospel. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and warned them that deception is real. That deception is something that we as a church need to be aware of and on guard of at all times. He even gave the comparison to how that Eve was beguiled by the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Amen. To be beguiled, amen, is to be deceived. Amen. He said that the serpent was subtle. That means that he is an expert at camouflaging what his real intention is.
Amen.
And anybody that's a deceiver is an expert at disguising their real intention. But this morning, we don't have to be deceived. We can be wide awake. We can have our eyes wide open. And we can be aware of the attack of the enemy.
Amen.
You know, the enemy attacks us in one of two ways. The first way is overtly, but the second is covertly. Now, overt attack of the enemy is a plain, open attack. Amen. You know that he's attacking. Amen. Because he's storming the gates. He's attacking the walls. He's leading an army. And he's being very bold in his attack. But the covert attack is one that's done under the cover of darkness. It's one where somebody sneaks. It's one where somebody tries to slip in unaware. And we know that the enemy is not above, amen, using dirty tactics in order to bring about his nefarious plan. I'm glad to know that however the enemy attacks, I've been given the tools by God Almighty to stand against his deception. Paul lists here in his letter to the Corinthians that they would preach another Jesus, that they would have another spirit, that they would preach another gospel. Hallelujah. Folks, you have to understand. If something is another, that means there's the real, and then there's something in addition to the real. Another gospel. A gospel in addition to the true gospel. That's what we're facing today. Brother Bob, there's more deception today in the ranks of religion than at any other time in the history of mankind. That is why it's absolutely vital that you, as a believer in Christ, be rooted and grounded in the faith. I want you to know, if you don't read your Bible, and you are going to make yourself weak and acceptable to the attack of the enemy. There's no excuse for us to be ignorant. Ain't God, every one of us has a dozen Bibles in our home.
Oh, yeah, man.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
I got more Bibles than you can shake a stick at. Come on. I got Bibles in our vehicles, Bibles in my office, Bibles in my bedroom, Bibles in the living room. I'm going to tell you, there's no reason for us to say that we don't have time to read the Bible. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have time and you need to turn the radio off or the television off, and you need to find a little quiet time and get along with God and study to show yourself approved. Amen. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing a word of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Folks, we're there. Deception's everywhere, Sister Brenda. Amen. I want you to know that most people in America still claim to be Christian. And that number keeps dropping every year. Hallelujah. But a large majority of people still claim to be Christian. It's a baffling thing for me for somebody to say they're a born-again Christian yet believe in evolution.
Amen.
They've been deceived. Come on, somebody. It's a baffling thing for me for somebody to claim to have an intimate, close relationship with Jesus, yet still openly commit sin. It's a baffling thing for me. People that claim to be a born-again believer, yet they believe that it's all right to murder a child in a mother's womb. I'm going to tell you how they can believe these things. They've been deceived. I said they've been deceived. I've met everybody under the sun. I've met people that claim to be Christians that believe it's all right for a man and a man to get married. They've been deceived, Brother Chris.
Amen.
I said they've been deceived. Folks, that's not the exception anymore. That's the rule. People that believe, amen, in the Word of God like you and I believe here in this building this morning, we are a rare people indeed. There's not many of us left that believe, amen, in the fundamental truths of the Bible, of the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, it is absolutely essential that we, the people of God, be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We must not be blown about with every wind of doctrine that comes this way. I'm going to tell you, folks, you may not understand it fully, but every church out there is not preaching the whole gospel. Every pastor out there doesn't have the good of the church in their heart. Well, glory. Some of them are more concerned about filling their building than they are pleasing Jesus.
Amen.
Well, glory. There's an ever-present danger of deception. The danger of deception looms large in our world today. This danger is not going to go away. Amen. If the Christian is going to survive, amen, then he or she must be on guard at all times against deception. This is not, I'm just going to give you a small sampling of Scripture. A very small sampling of Scripture that warned us about deception. Now you may, I'm going to have a lot of Scripture in this message because I want to show you that this is not just some minor issue, it's a major issue. Now listen to me carefully. This is a small sliver of the New Testament. Mark 8:15, Jesus said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." He's speaking of false teaching and false belief. Mark 13:5-6, Jesus answered and said, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Mark 13:33, Jesus said, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not, amen, when the time is." Amen. In Luke 11:35, Jesus said, "Take heed therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness." Luke 21:8, Jesus said, "Take heed, that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near." Amen. Listen to me. 1 Timothy 1:4, Paul wrote and said, "Neither give heed unto fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith." 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, and continue in them." Hebrews 2:1, we're warned, even we ought to give them our earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Matthew 24:24, he said, "For there shall arise Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect." I want you to know, amen, we've been warned, Brother Terry. Amen, deception is here. Amen, the Bible said, be careful, take heed, be on guard, be alert, be on the wall looking, because there's a real enemy lurking in the darkness that's come to deceive you.
Amen.
We must take heed to these warnings. Yes, sir. We ignore the peril of deception to our own destruction. When it comes to God, the Bible, the church, and the doctrine that we believe, we should question everything. Amen. Do not blindly follow anybody or anything. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 15 and 14, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. I want you to know there's no excuse for you and I to blindly follow anybody. You better, amen, you better live for God with your eyes wide open. Amen. Don't follow and don't get in the ditch. Amen. By God, there's life in Christ if you will walk with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Keep your eyes wide open. Look for your adversary. Peter wrote to the church and said, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, he's not trying just to devour worldly people. He's trying to devour church people. You need to be alert. You can't close your eyes. You can't be lulled to sleep by the sitcoms of television. You can't sit back, amen, and ignore the peril that we're in. Sister Terry, there's a danger lurking. I want you to know that deception's in the land. There's more false today than there is true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible clearly tells us in the last days there would be another gospel. This means that there will be a true gospel. Amen. And then in addition to that, there will be another gospel. I'm going to tell you, that other gospel is not the true gospel. It's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It may sound good. It may make you feel good. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, does it get you to heaven? Oh, come on. They may tell you Jesus loves you, but they're not telling you that same Jesus is going to sit as a judge over all sin. They're not telling you the whole truth.
Amen.
Well, glory. I admit to you this morning that what those false preachers and teachers are saying sounds awful good sometimes. Joel Osteen says, there's a champion on the inside of you. Woo! My champion! Woo! Come on, somebody. Jesus saves you because he sees good in you. That's not the gospel.
No, sir.
Come on. You need to get up there, amen. You need to get up every morning and you need to have a declaration as you look in the mirror. Come on. Joyce Myers, I read her declaration. She gets every morning, looks in the mirror and said, you're rich. You're beautiful. Come on. You're this. You're that. I decree and declare unto you that riches are going to come to me. Come on. That people are going to do good to me and not evil.
Amen.
You can get up every morning with that nonsense if you want to. Amen. But I want you to know, amen, the gospel's not about my creature comforts. The gospel's about me doing the will of God. And if doing the will of God requires me to give my life, I must be prepared to give it freely.
Amen.
Paul couldn't get up every morning, look in a mirror and decree and declare. They didn't have a lot of mirrors in the prison cell. Whoo! Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
That's foolishness. That's nonsense. Hallelujah. Yet this is what the majority of Americans and the rest of the world has bought into. Amen. It is absolutely essential that we get a hold of the Word of God. Don't fall for everything. I want you to know God has a plan to keep you strong in the faith.
Amen.
Now I'm going to deal with some... I've been meditating on this and studying on this for a little while. And I'm going to give you some key areas where we see deception making inroads into the churches. Now I've got 10 or 12 of them. And this is going to be more than one message. Now this morning I'm only going to deal with two of them, the first two. Hallelujah. But over time I want to deal with all of these issues. Amen. This morning I want to deal with repentance. And I've been saying a lot about that lately. Hallelujah. I want to deal with repentance and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And later we'll talk about, amen, judge not. And we'll talk about sin and holiness. Amen. Perfection. We'll deal with all these things over time. Amen. But I want you to know there's a real enemy lurking out there that's making inroads into the true church. Amen. The first of these attacks is against the doctrine of repentance.
Amen.
I want you to know, folks, you've heard me say that word a lot here the last few years. But there's an all-out attack against repentance today taking place in the religious realm. Repentance is the one part of the gospel that's being minimized greatly today. This is being done in some cases by totally eliminating it, in other cases by changing its true meaning. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be born again, you're going to have to repent.
Amen.
The word repent is defined as turning from sin, to cease from sin, to turn about and go a different direction. Today, the proponents of the false gospel are redefining repentance to their own taste, and they're saying it simply means sorrow. While sorrow does play a part in repentance, it does not define it alone. Surely, when a person is repentant, they're going to be sorry for their sin. But this sorrow must lead to a cessation of sinful activities. Amen. When I was born again, I wasn't just sorry for being a sinner. I was ready to be a saint. I was ready to be a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Terry was ready to stop being a drinker. Come on. If you was a liar, you was ready to stop lying. If you was an adulterer, adultery's out now. Amen. Why? Because repentance brought to you, amen, a cessation of sin. Amen. To reject sin. Amen. Then you turn and embrace the truth. You embrace righteousness. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." I want you to know, folks, I was godly sorrowful, and it led me to repent. Amen. I meant this. Scripture makes it clear that there's a difference between sorrow and repentance. Amen. I was sorry for my sin. Therefore, I was ready to change my lifestyle.
Amen.
To simply feel sorry for what you've done wrong is not change. Come on, somebody, repentance brings change. Hallelujah. The gospel, this good news, is built on the truth that Jesus has made it possible through his death, burial, and resurrection for you and I to repent. And when I repent, I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Throughout the Bible, we are commanded to repent. Amen. Listen to these scriptures. Matthew 9:13. "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mark 1:4. "John baptized in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Luke 24:46-47. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Acts 11:18. "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Amen. Acts 20:21. Amen. "Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God." Acts 26:20. "Then to the Gentiles," amen, "that they should repent and turn to God." Oh, come on, somebody. Romans 2:4. "The goodness of the God leadeth to repentance." In 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Amen.
Whew. Today, the emphasis is no longer on repentance. The emphasis is on forgiveness. Now, I'll be the first to tell you how wonderful forgiveness is. I'm glad everything I've done in my past, he forgave me for, Brother Terry.
Amen.
That's wonderful. I want you to know forgiveness deals with the man I was, but repentance deals with the man that I am.
Amen.
The man that I am right now and the man that I'll be tomorrow. Amen. You can forgive a man, but if that man don't repent, he'll soon fill up his slate with more sin. Amen. But I'm glad Jesus didn't just forgive me. He gave me the power to repent. And to Brenda, I don't have to go to the bar and get drunk anymore. I don't have to be filled with lust and envy and hatred anymore, because I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
Thank you.
Woo.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Brother Chris did drugs before he met Jesus. Didn't you do drugs? Yeah. He don't have to do drugs anymore.
Amen.
And he don't do drugs anymore. Come on, somebody. He's been delivered.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. The emphasis today, Sister Sandra, unfortunately, in many churches, not just Calvinist churches, not just Baptist or Presbyterian or Lutheran or whatever, the emphasis sometimes in even Spirit-filled churches is that Jesus will forgive you, yet you have to make no lasting change. Though often they won't say it in those words, they excuse sin. They say it's all right. I watched a video on YouTube last night of a preacher's son. He been explaining why it's all right for Christians to get tattoos. Why in the world would a Christian want a tattoo? Come on, somebody. Folks, this ain't just in the Lutheran church. This is in Assembly of God churches. Come on. Charismatic churches. Last Sunday morning at the flagship church of the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri. Come on, somebody. North Point Church. Their flagship church. Hallelujah. After the morning service, they had a tattoo artist there. Come on. And you can get ink for Jesus. The pastor, I watched the video clip from Channel 2 News and wherever, Springfield, Missouri. I watched the news report and they was interviewing the pastor. He said, I think I might get me one too. Maybe a little cross or something. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. There was some outrage over it, and some ministers in the assemblies even sent letters and called the district and the general offices of the assemblies protesting and saying, what are y'all going to do about this? And you know what their answer was? Nothing. They have a right to do whatever they want. I'm going to tell you folks, amen, this is where we're at. I said, this is where we're at. Amen, worldliness is flooding into the church. People are sinning every day. And there's preachers in the pulpit saying it's okay. But I'm going to tell you, it's not okay. People need to come back to the altar. And they need to repent. I said, they need to repent. Somebody said, give me scripture and verse. Amen, I'm going to tell you the Holy Ghost. If he can't tell you it's wrong, I can't tell you nothing that'll add to it.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. God help us. One Assembly of God minister in Facebook sent me a note. He was distraught over it. A friend of mine said, Brother Mark, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can continue. He was heartbroken. Hallelujah. Brother Mark, what do I do? What do I do? Hallelujah. Oh God, I want you to understand here. Amen. When that church repents, amen, they're going to hate what they once were.
Yes, sir.
You hate that old drunk you used to be, don't you, Brother Terry?
Yes, sir, I do.
Come on. Amen. If you was a liar, you hate that old liar that you used to be. Amen. I'll tell you, anybody that ever repents hates what they formerly were. Amen. Come on. Amen. One time used to go to this church. He said, I thought I was a good old boy till I came to the altar and repented. He said, when I got up from the altar, I realized that I used to be vile. I used to be horrible. He said, I was evil.
Yeah.
Whoo. Hallelujah. He said, I never thought of myself as evil till I met Jesus. Woo, come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you, compared to the awesome holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ, what we formerly were was wicked beyond compare. But thank God I came to the altar. I was born again. I'm a new person in Jesus.
Amen.
It is repentance that brings us to the new creation. A man or woman will not be born again until they repent. Admittedly, repentance is not a popular doctrine in our self-indulgent society. Because of this aversion to self-denial, religion has recreated a new gospel that is based on self-gratification that will not permit the doctrine of repentance. The end result will be destruction. Hallelujah. We see it. Another gospel. They're preaching another way to become a Christian. And they're leaving out repentance. Second, I'm only going to deal with two of these points this morning. The blood of Jesus. Now you would think something as precious as the blood of Jesus, that is absolutely essential to the Christian faith, would never come under attack. But my friend, that is simply not the case.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You and I greatly esteem and value the blood of Jesus. But some churches, some theologians, some pastors, some denominations do not view the blood of Jesus as being as precious as you and I do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There is another attack taking place. Amen. Against this. Christianity was always built upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In recent years, some churches have sought to distance themselves from the gory details of the cross, and they have repackaged a new Christianity in a more palatable presentation to the world. Amen. Oh, we'll preach the gospel. We're just not going to tell the details of what Jesus went through. I want you to know, folks, amen, the extreme death that Jesus died is the result of the extreme sin that you and I were a part of. The only answer to our evil was the death of Jesus on Calvary. Amen. I'm going to tell you, His blood was shed that I might be set free. I'm thankful for the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This new approach has more in common with self-help techniques than it does the Word of God. The emphasis is on the positive mental attitude, a positive confession, and broad-based ethics that have been scrubbed clean of any reference to the shedding of blood, the cross, and the death of Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of the proponents of this bloodless Christianity deny they are subtracting the substitutionary work of Jesus on the cross from their doctrine, but they do admit that they speak little about the blood of Jesus in order to keep people from feeling uncomfortable. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the real emphasis today on building churches, church growth, is to make people comfortable.
Amen.
That is not our purpose.
No, sir.
Come on. Amen. To make the church more presentable to the community. To make us more accepted in the community. That's never our purpose. We're not here to make the community feel better about us. Come on, somebody. We're not here to make the gospel more presentable to others. Well, I'll preach it in such a way that people are more attracted to it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's not my purpose. Amen. We've been having talks on Facebook. Amen. With some of the street preachers about what they're preaching. Amen. I put one of them on the other day. Brother Michael Armstrong, I told you in Sunday school. Amen. He's been called as a missionary to America. And he's traveling all over America and preaching at the college campuses. Last week somebody dumped hot coffee all over him while he was preaching. And I'm going to tell you, he's still out there preaching. Amen. Come on. Thank God for brother men like brother Micah. That's not ashamed of the gospel. He's been rocked. He's been rotten egged. He's had coffee dumped on him. He's been beat up. He's been kicked. But he keeps on preaching. I said he keeps on preaching. Thank God for men like that. One atheist came up to him, amen, and told him, said, sir, you'll attract more flies, amen, come on, with honey than you will vinegar. He said, yeah, you'll attract them with more, even more with manure. But who's trying to attract flies? Well, glory, I want you to know, we're not trying to attract flies. We're trying to tell men that they're doomed without God. They're on their way to a devil's hell without God. And there's an answer. Jesus paid the price.
Amen.
If they will repent. Hallelujah. That's where we're at. That's the new mentality of today. Let's attract them with honey. Let's have a honey gospel. Let me tell you, the honey and the rock, that's for you and I. I used to sing that song when I was a kid. There's honey in the rock, my brother. Come on. The honey that's in the rock is for you and I. There ain't no honey for that man that won't repent. Come on, somebody. That Bible said we need to preach the good news of the gospel. Before you preach the good news of the gospel, you've got to preach the bad news of the law. Come on. Before you can offer life, you've got to convince them they're dead. Hallelujah. How do you convince men they're dead? You preach sin. Well, girl, you preach judgment. Amen. I think it was John Wesley said, amen, I preach judgment, law, and sin. And when they're, amen, can't go any further, amen, when I brought them to the brink, he said, then I preach to them the good news. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory. The blood of Jesus. How many loves the blood of Jesus? Hallelujah. This is a terrible version of the message of the gospel. Yes, admittedly, the shedding of blood is unpleasant. It's an unpleasant thought. But this is exactly what is required to deal with the unpleasantness of sin. One singer was asked it that was going to sing at a church. Said, you know what? When you come here and sing, don't sing about the blood. Come on. We don't want to offend anybody. And the singer told him, if I can't sing about the blood at your church, then I just can't sing at your church. Amen. Ooh, come on. I want you to know it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? There's power, power, power. Amen. Everlasting power in the blood of Jesus. I want you to know what? Amen's going to wash our sins away. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One, the Word of God is clear on this issue. Let me give you some more scripture. I told you I had a lot of scripture. Matthew 26 and 28. For this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. John 6 and 53 through 56. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Folks, that don't sound very pleasant. Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. But what he was saying is you must be a partaker of who I am. Amen. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to embrace him fully. There is no partial embrace of Christ. It's a full embrace or it's no embrace. Jesus is either everything to you or he's nothing to you. You're either willing to give your life completely to him or he'll take none of you at all.
Yes,
hallelujah. When Jesus said these words, the Bible, and I didn't put it all in my notes, the Bible records that people began to leave him. Brother Terry, when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they began to walk out on him while he's preaching. Come on. Slowly but surely, from the youngest to the elders or whatever, they began to walk away. And finally, there's nobody standing there but his 12 apostles. And Jesus said, will you leave me also? And Peter said, where will we go? For thou hast the words of life. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
I want you to understand this is a bloody gospel. Any gospel that's bloodless is not the true gospel. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 and 7. Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2 13. But now is Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1 and 14, in whom we have redemption redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1 and 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Oh, come on, somebody. Hebrews 9, 12 through 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. With the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh. How much more, I said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9 and 22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Hebrews 10 and 4. Or it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I can go on and on. There's an attack on the blood. There's an attack on repentance. I'll tell you, you go to most churches, you won't hardly ever hear the word repent like I preach around here. And unfortunately, Sister Kelsey, there's some churches you won't even hear about the blood. Hallelujah. Brother Steve, when he preaches, he always likes to describe it in detail. That's just Brother Steve. He's, as long as I've known him, he's always liked to preach on the cross and the blood. Come on. He'll tell you all about the thorns and the spear in his side. He'll tell you about the whip, the cat of nine tails with pieces of stone and glass in the end. He did that last time he preached. Why? Because it's real to him. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need to let men know they're responsible for that.
Amen.
Amen. That's our duty. Stand with me all over this building. Lord, I love you. I love you, Jesus. And we are facing deception. There is another gospel. But I thank you for the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come to this altar this morning, find a place to pray.